This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, I guess welcome back works. Or just welcome. Hey, I'm Michael Irvin, staring across the darkened studio, trying to keep it cool here in red-hot San Francisco. And my man, Daryl the Guru Johnson. What's up, Goo? How you doing today?
I'm feeling like 200 years old, man. I'm trying to hide the fact that I'm having heat exhaustion.
Wow,
and
yeah.
It's early.
Why does that make you 200 years old?
It's hot. It's Inferno Guru going on right now.
Why you got to bring up Inferno? You know about what I've been through this week.
Oh,
it's a bad pun, man.
That is. I do apologize.
For those of you who do not follow me on Twitter, first off, shame on you. You can follow me on Twitter at Big Herb Sports. You can follow Guru at Triple D Guru. If you did follow me, you would have seen, still not quite sure why I did it, but a little bit of a fire at Shea Urban, Casa Urban, on Wednesday night. Did significant damage. Thank God we are all fine. Thank you to everybody on Twitter who sent their love and support. We're still working through it. But, it's global warming. It was not the result of global warming, Guru, but it was warm nonetheless. I don't like fires, I've decided. Fires, bad for ball.
Yeah, just terrible for ball. And the fact that you and the girls and your wife
and the animals.
Yep. That's the bigger picture, easy for me to say, but it's a blessing, especially when you look around the world and see what's going on.
Absolutely. The fireman said two more minutes and the whole house would have been up in flames. So it seems weird to say that we're lucky and we're blessed in the wake of something like that, but we truly are. And look, let's get into the toy department, because everybody's got a sad story to tell and not everybody has the microphone in front of them to tell it. So that's about as much as you're going to hear about the fire at Casa Urban on Wednesday. The fire in my belly is raging right now because my man from Hard Knocks got cut. Joe Dirt, my favorite, everybody's favorite. Riley Bulla, he's an undrafted free agent out of Michigan State. He did Fetty Wap lyrics on the first show. The guy's been cut. Come on.
I thought he was cut once he did the verse.
Really?
I said, you'll be the one.
Oh, is that bad?
Coach wants to see you. Is that what it is? Or bring your playbook.
Bring your playbook. They call it the Turk. So today's a big day, cut down day. Well, it's a big day in a lot of ways. College football officially opens up, even though Stanford and Rice kicked it off officially in Australia. We will be talking with Scott Reese at some point this afternoon. What time are we talking to Scott? Is that early in the program? It may be 12:30, I think. Yes, 12:30, Scott Reese. He's the play-by-play man also for Stanford football, also KTVU anchor and reporter. Did you watch that game, Guru? I know you're a huge college football fan.
Yes, I did.
What'd you think?
Stanford has some action. I like what they're doing. I've always said Union City's own David Shaw.
Mm-hmm. You guys bonded on the air a couple weeks ago.
Was a little conservative, but I don't see that. And I think Stanford is going to cause a lot of problems in the quarterback-rich Pac-12 division, because they got some, led by Darnold, they got some young studs that know how to throw the pigskin.
He is Daryl Johnson. I'm Michael Irvin. Together we're Herbs and Guru. Thank you for joining us. We're also going to be talking to Matt Barrows of the Sacramento Bee. He covers the 49ers for them. And at 2:30, we'll be talking to Mike Wagaman. He's a senior writer for Silver and Black Illustrated, longtime freelance reporter for the Associated Press. He covers the Raiders. Again, huge day because the cutdowns, which I'm still not sure if I like the new rule where you do all your cuts at once. You go from 90 down to 53, as opposed to throughout the preseason, you would get cuts after every game, I believe.
I love it.
You do?
Yeah. Because another team's GM, it's like just go shopping. It's
yeah,
just,
right.
Hit there's the
thousands,
closing
like goal. Literally, there's more than 1,000 players over the from the time Thursday's games ended. Right? Was the last game for everybody,
yep.
Correct?
Thank goodness.
Right, yeah, thank you. And that fourth game was just awful. No matter who you watched in that fourth game, it was going to be bad. But after from Thursday on, more than 1,000 players were getting cut and put on the open market. So like you said, yeah, a huge shopping spree. If you're a GM and a head coach, And you've got some deficiencies on your roster. You'd like to think that you could shore them up with some a couple of those 1,000-plus people that got cut, right?
Yeah, I was watching the Niner telecast, and I believe it was the great Tim Ryan who said the Niners, you know, their front office, and they're going to be waiting because, they, in his estimation, they have like 6 to 7 spots that need to be filled or could be filled with people that get waived.
Right.
And I'm sitting here thinking, this is genius by the NFL because now, Herbs, you and I, if we're a GM owner – man, could you imagine? We could sit here, we do our due diligence, we give our energy to all the cuts, and you get it done almost like a draft as opposed to, okay, today's cut down day to 62. Then it's 50, you know,
right.
you get it done. Get in, get out, and you might get some guys that can actually play. T.J. Ward from the Broncos is not wanted?
There's some guys that had decent preseasons and still got cut, whether they're cap casualties or they just didn't. It looks like the Niners, on the moves that they've made in the past week or so, it looks like if you're associated with Trent Baalke in any way, you're skating on some thin ice, if not already gone through the ice.
Do you like that? Because I get it, but at the end of the day,
I think these
two dudes are smart enough and secure enough in their being and their contracts to where they know. I don't think they have a chip on their shoulder to where they look at the room, oh, you're from the last regime. I think they're looking at, can you help us win? Can you help us win the way we want to in this new style that I'm going to let Kyle implement?
And if they're cutting guys just because they're associated with Baalke, then obviously there's a maturity and professionalism.
And that's what Baalke's regime was doing, and that's how he operated. And that's why I thought he was a simpleton and why it wasn't the best thing for the team.
Right. So since I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Shanahan and Lynch are not immature and unprofessional, so the fact that they're cutting all these people that are tied to Baalke, it's an indictment on Baalke. They're just looking at these guys and saying, I don't know what he was thinking when he picked them. You know, another thing I want to get into, and it's, I know that we could have had this conversation the day after the draft, the week after the draft. But damn it, Rube Foster was available to the Raiders when they had their first pick.
It's too soon for that.
Is it?
I'm going to play NHL
the
hockey.
The day after the draft,
you.
It wasn't too soon.
I will not allow
for that.
You to do that.
They needed linebacking help, and the best linebacker in the draft was available. And they passed on him and took some guy with a court case above him, hasn't even hit the field yet. Come on. What are you doing, Reggie? Del Rio.
Wow.
Reggie.
You're that guy.
Every power guy in that organization has linebacker written all over him.
Conley got on line one. He's yet to play an actual football game.
Isn't that
Ruben
part of the
Foster
problem?
On line two. He has yet to play an actual football
all
game.
Right.
Week four,
Come
week
on.
Five, you can be that guy. But not today, Herbs.
I'm
not
that guy
today.
Now. I'm that guy now.
You're basing that on preseason. And Conley was Claude Rains. You don't know who that is. The original Invisible Man.
Oh, you're getting applause from behind the glass for Claude Rains.
Oh, yeah. But that's what Conley was. So why are you reacting as if he's not a bust, but he's disappointed?
Because it's so clear now, as it was when last season ended and as it was the day after this draft, that they need help at linebacker.
But there was injured too. Foster had some injury issues. You're fired up. I'm just know it's too early for that, Herbs. I see where you're going, but you can't go there yet.
I just keep hearing that the only thing that's going to prevent the Raiders from winning the Super Bowl is having a passable defense. And having a guy like Rube Foster, whom they passed on, would have made them a passable defense. That's all I'm saying.
And I'll say this. How about this? He would look very, like Halle Berry, attractive in a silver and black uniform.
Mm-hmm. How you feeling about the Raiders' defense now?
I'm going to go into next week's
game. I say that with a smile on my face.
Yeah, but
if
there's
you can't
no reason to smile. Because what you're doing, or what a lot of pundits are doing, and you're robbing the Raider defensive coordinators
Who
and
is that?
Staff, Ken Norton Jr., Pagano, and I'm throwing
so
Jack
they have
Del
two
Rio
defensive
in there.
Coordinators.
Three with Jack Del Rio. I'm throwing him in there. My point being, we're reacting to something that has yet to happen, and this team is yet to falter or look unorganized or give up a bunch of big plays like they did last year in 2017. You want to know why? Because no games have counted. So I'm going into it eyes wide open, Tom Cruise, or was it wide shut?
But eyes wide shut.
Yeah, you get where
Stanley
I'm going.
Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, that was pretty. It was all right. But until they falter in the regular season, then I'll say, Oakland, we have a problem. But until then, I'm going to be proactive and think they were going out there with their vanilla scheme. Conley's back. I'll judge you in Tennessee.
You know, it's a great example of how fans have short memories. It's what have you done for me lately? It's you may say something on Wednesday and say something absolutely counter to that on Friday. Look at you dropping some personal knowledge there. Spouses, too. So we're told all throughout preseason, before preseason opens, that these games don't mean anything. Don't look at the final score, blah, blah. But then I've heard some Raiders fans, we didn't even win a single preseason game. It would have been nice to just win one. Even Romo said, just get one win. Okay, isn't that completely counter to what we've been told? Don't look at the score of these games. It doesn't matter if you go 0-4. It doesn't matter if you go 4-0. It means nothing about what's going to happen when the bell rings.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I'm not making a big deal out of 0-4. I'm just not. I'm growing. I'm maturing right
before
your eyes.
They're 0-0.
There you go, along with everybody else. But
and their defense has not given up a touchdown.
No, I saw them.
It's going to be a bad defense, Guru. They're going to have to score a ton of points.
All right. I'm just telling you. Keller, unless, Ray, everybody can see that. That's not a shocker.
Here's where...
It's can you fix it?
Here's where we can find out a little bit more about Reggie. Because some GMs have a great talent of finding that diamond in the rough. Seeing something in somebody that other people in power didn't see. So now that, like I said, there's going to be 1,000-plus free agents hitting the street.
I love it.
Because of this cut down. So let's see if Reggie and Norton and Pagano and Del Rio look at those 1,000-plus and see, hey, I think that guy can help our defense. Let's go get him. But if you do that, then what do you do with, I mean, you got a 53-man roster already, right? You're going to have to make some more changes there. So what does it say about you if you've decided on your final 53, and then you go look at somebody's trash and decide, no, I want that, and I'm going to get rid of one of my final 53.
Yeah, and trash is too strong because, you know, the NFL is about scheme.
Well, one man's trash is another man's treasure,
exactly.
Right?
But you got guys maybe that didn't fit into these schemes, and then they'll be available to you and fit your scheme better. Okay. But we'll go Joe Hayden, who got traded from the Browns to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and the reason he stayed in the division, I believe, is he wanted to play the Cleveland twice. Raider fans were just in an uproar that Reggie didn't pick up the phone and whisper sweet nothings to get Hayden here in Oakland. And it's not that Reggie didn't want him. He probably didn't have the time. By the time he made the phone call, his mind was already made up where he wanted to go. He heard a lot about the Steelers and how they're winners. My point being, we're going to see the same thing play out in this frenzy where all these guys get cut and McKenzie and all these other GMs are going to come under fire and scrutiny because you didn't get Michael Urban in here fast enough, but 20 other people, you know, he took the calls before he got to you, man. So it's a lot going on. I'm excited because it's that frenzy before Thursday night when we actually see games that actually count.
Yeah, you just got to wipe out your memory. Anything that you saw in the preseason, it truly doesn't matter. Right. I mean, there's some things that you knew. Okay, no matter who your favorite team was, you probably had an idea of what that team's strengths and weaknesses were going into the preseason. And I think rare is the team that after the preseason games, their fans who knew the strengths and weaknesses all of a sudden have a new set of strengths and weaknesses. It's probably going to be the same as you're coming out of it. But as I'm thinking about it, you know who would be a great fit with the Raiders and they need help at linebacker is my boy Joe Dirt, who got cut from the Bucs. Wouldn't he be a great Raider? He fits right in.
Okay, how does he fit in? Because he recited the songs to Lil
No, because
Yachty?
He's got long hair and he's all tatted up. He's kind of a rebel, an undrafted free agent. He's an underdog. The Raiders have a history of going after guys like that.
Yeah, but we won't.
He just got caught up in a numbers game, Guru.
This is a new era. You think that. This is a new era in Raider football. It's not about what you look like. It's what you can do on the field.
All right.
And you just went Janet Jackson. What have you done for me lately? And that's what GMs and coaches are looking at. And the Raiders need some playmakers at that linebacker position. I got to tell you, Urban, I think they're going to get something. I mean, it's not going to be Lawrence Taylor, but something that will help and be better than what they already have. So I'm excited. I'm going to stay watching the waiver wire to see what they come up with because you and I both know we could argue that the Raiders defense needs about four new players, four better players, and four different players. Right. I'm just throwing that out there.
He's Daryl Johnson. I'm Michael Urban. Together we're Herbs and Guru. Thank you for joining us. We're going to take you all the way up until 3 o'clock. We got a nice guest list here at 12:30 talking to Scott Reese of Stanford Football. 1 o'clock, Matt Barrows covers the Niners for the Sacramento Bee. And 2:30, Mike Wagaman covers the Raiders for S Silver and Black Illustrated. If you want to join our conversation, give us a call, 888-957-9570. Let's compare your thoughts on your squad going into the preseason schedule and coming out of this preseason schedule. Has it changed at all? Nothing that I've seen from the Niners or the Raiders changed what I felt about them before the fake game started. And I would imagine most of you feel the same way. If you didn't, I'd love to hear from you. Even if you do, I'd love to hear from you. PenskeAutoSales.com text line, meanwhile, is 95795. You can hit us up on Twitter. We both follow our timelines throughout the program. You can follow me at Big Herb Sports, and you can follow Daryl at Triple D Guru. Let's turn our attention eastward to the middle of the country, where Houston is dealing with all sorts of mess. And I don't mean the Houston Texans, although one Houston Texan, J.J. Watt, his initial goal to raise money for the city of Houston and the relief efforts in the wake of Tropical Storm Harvey. It never got upgraded to hurricane, did it? Was it hurricane?
I don't care. Whatever it was, it was tragic.
His goal was to raise $200,000. He's at $16 million now.
That's phenomenal.
That's an example of a professional athlete using his platform for good. I mean, I'm a fan of J.J. Watt for life now.
And almost everybody. You see Jerry Jones, they did the telethon because the Houston Texan game versus the Dallas Cowboys got canceled. And a lot of people were upset thinking, hey, why didn't you have this game in Dallas? And all the proceeds would have went to the victims in Houston. But they did a telethon. The Cowboys did it practice. It was very successful. You see all these entertainers, movie actors. But I'm a little irritated because when you watch these videos and you think wherever you're at, especially here in California, you're having a bad day or you get a flat tire or, you know, your pizza came out, it wasn't all the way done. Just take a look at what's going on in the Lone Star State and how families may never recover from this devastation. Herbs, I mean, it's changed. I don't want to say it's changed my life. It just lets you know how to focus on what's really important in this world. And as much as you attain to get more, be happy with what you have because you'll never know when it's gone. And it's just sad to watch what's going on. But the neat thing about this tragedy is for the color thing that we had going on in our society, they're all coming together and working, man.
There's no doubt.
And I've seen as much. So that's the one thing I take away from this, to where you see humans come together. And again, we're all the human race. So that's the one positive about what I've seen, because it's scary.
Yeah, and it's easier said than done, but to look at people that are less fortunate than you and appreciate what you have. You know, I said I wasn't going to bring up the fire at my house anymore, and I won't after this, but I look at Houston. You know, we had the fire at the house on Wednesday, and we lost some lifetime memories, you know, and just in our shed where
never
all of
get
our Christmas
back.
Decorations, you know, ornaments that the kids made, ornaments we got over our travels and all that. And, I mean, it's sad as hell. It's devastating. I mean, our lives are going to be affected in a major way, but not like those people in Houston. I look over at Houston, and I look up at the sky, and I say, thank you, God, because it could have been a hell of a lot worse for us. And it is a hell of a lot worse for so many people in Houston. And to see somebody like J.J. Watt, and as you said, it's not just J.J. Watt. It's entertainers. It's sports franchises.
That was a great gesture by him.
All over the place. I mean, everybody is stepping up. And, you know, I hadn't really thought about it until you brought it up, Daryl. But, yeah, I mean, there's been so much in the news, and we get caught up in it about the division between black and white and the haves and the have-nots.
All of it.
You know, all of it. And then all of that kind of just died off here. Because when the country needed to rally, as we did after 9/11, and yes, I'm comparing it somewhat, there's an equal level of devastation to certain degrees, we just came together. This is what we're supposed to be about. This melting pot where it doesn't matter what you look like, we're just trying to help out.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, why are you watching that? You know, why do you keep watching it? And I was telling my wife, you know, I'm gravitated to it.
Not it's because, instructive, man.
You
it
know,
helps.
I'm enjoying watching disaster. It's just, no, I just think of my family, your family, how things can change at the drop of a dime. You know, be happy and enjoy your loved ones. And that's all I'm saying. And make the right decisions and treat your neighbor like you want to be treated, because there's no telling when things can change. And Houston is that example for me.
One of the first things that you showed me when I got in today was a video on your phone. Now, who's that? Was that your cousin or your uncle or somebody?
Yeah, Kevin Mouton in Houston.
And why does that name sound so familiar?
He went to James Logan. No, he was a star. He went to Oregon. Played against Gary Payton.
All right, I've heard that name before. So he's got a goal of, what, helping five families a day? Just driving around his neighborhood and helping
out. Nice homes, right?
Yeah.
But we saw what was in the front from the video.
Mattresses, furniture, all that. So obviously the
devastation.
The flood level has gone down in that neighborhood because the streets were dry, but the stuff out in their front yard is not. And that's just one guy just doing it on his own, just trying to help other people out. And you've got literally thousands upon thousands of people, including famous people, which, for better or for worse, are going to bring more attention and probably more money into the situation. So, yeah, if you got any comments on that, please feel free. We've got Mike in Fremont. He's dialed us up. There are plenty of openings on the phone lines behind Mike. 888-957-9570. Mike, you're on with Herbs and Guru. What's happening?
Hey, guys. Just on the preseason real quick, like you were saying, I'm not worried either way on the Raiders going 0-4. And as far as the Niners go, I think if anything, it's impressive that under this new regime, they've gone 4 weeks with no major embarrassments or publicity embarrassments. And over the last few years, that's an improvement for them. So I think the preseason has gone fine. But for the hurricane, like you guys were saying, it's, you know, when Katrina happened, it was predominantly, you know, poor people of color in Louisiana who were hurt. But this time today, it's people, there's some really nice, huge houses getting just washed away in Houston. It's rich people, it's poor people, it's white people, it's black people, it's Asian people. Nature does not discriminate. And I think this was, if anything, it was a good time in our country for such a disaster to happen when everyone is so divided. It definitely drove the point home that nature doesn't care.
Thank you for the phone call, Mike. Appreciate it. Again, if you want to get in line behind Mike, 888-957-9570. You can hit us up on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line, 95795. Look out, Guru. Somebody on the text line says you're about to get a call from the wifey based on the comments that you made a little bit earlier.
She's not listening.
A lot of good texts already on the PenskeAutoSales.com text line. Plenty of people cheering you on. Someone's telling us, telling me, I guess, specifically, chill with Foster. He hasn't even played in a game yet. Did you send that text in? Because you said almost the exact same thing.
No, but I mean, I get your excitement, but don't open that Reuben Foster bottle yet until we see him in Carolina.
And somebody else pointed out that the Raiders went 4-0 one preseason and proceeded to go 2-14, and so they are not worried.
Hello.
Right?
Hello.
Oh, I'm amused by, look, I did hear calls. Look, I wasn't on the air all week. This is the first time that we've been on the air together since last Sunday.
I miss you.
Obviously, I had some other things taking my attention, so I got to admit, I wasn't necessarily from Wednesday on locked in to the sports world. But I did, you know, when I was in my car picking up my girls, I would have 95.7 The Game on. I'd listen to the various shows, and I always try to catch certainly part of Damon's show. That seems to be when I'm in the car the most often picking up kids. And I did hear callers sweating that the Raiders didn't win any preseason games. I'm like, you can't say the games don't mean anything and then be bummed that they didn't win a preseason game. It's silly.
Yeah,
nothing matters until this Thursday, this Sunday.
And
nothing.
And what did I tell you? The great Pete Franklin's, he let me know, fan is short for fanatic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what they do. You watch it as if, not really tripping on the outcome. Then you find out your team hasn't won a game and you call Damon Bruce and you panic. That's what happens. But all will be well in Oaklandville if they come home from Elvis's hometown with a win next Sunday. And we'll be airing it right here on 95 or our sister stations
next week.
Yeah, with Townie and Romo.
Hey, I don't know if you've been avoiding this on purpose, but I know the Cowboys are your squad. Ezekiel Elliott, you were telling me the story in the Hub. This is getting more bizarre as we hear more about it. And we're going to get into that a little bit more as the program progresses. But Cliff's Notes real quick, Guru. There's a woman did a report, talked to the woman who made the accusation, the lawyer with the NFL.
Who specializes in this field of, you know, the shenanigans that are going on between her and Elliott. So she turned in, I believe it was a 12-page report, and her recommendation was no game suspension for Zeke Elliott. She didn't believe the accuser. You know, she saw the text messages where she was trying to blackmail Zeke Elliott. Uh-huh. But the fact that Roger Goodell, his actual report, looked like that report was omitted is causing real. I mean, there's a big dust up about to happen here to where Dallas and Jerry Jones, I think they have grounds to think that this is going to be thrown out in its entirety. I don't think that's going to happen, but it makes Roger Goodell again look like he dropped the ball in a major way, and he's going to come under fire if that's not already started.
Is this going to be another Deflategate that drags on for a couple of years before there's some sort of resolution to it?
Yeah, and I'm looking at Goodell from his vantage point, like he has to say, hey, my contract's up, or he just signed that. How did I get myself into this? Again, you know, Josh Brown, the kicker of the Giants, got one game.
Right.
And then you give Zeke Elliott six games when you have somebody that specializes in that field recommend that there be no games. I mean, he's got to answer to somebody. And we're going to see how this plays out. I guess they wrapped it up yesterday, and we'll find out Monday, Tuesday. I don't know, but it's going to look bad for Goodell. And a lot of people, the Players Association mainly, are upset with how he's the dictator, you know, jury, and you can't have all the powers.
He's a judge, jury, and executioner.
They signed off on him. Shame on the players. You signed off on it.
Yeah, the collective bargaining agreement. It's just, it's crazy. I mean, there's some people in life that can do no wrong. It seems like Roger Goodell is one of those guys that can do no right. No matter what he does, he ends up kicking it.
He gets that check, though.
Yeah,
he's doing something right.
Okay.
$31 million, I believe.
He's kissing the owner's ass is what he's doing. Hey, it's one of the best days in the calendar year. It's the opening weekend of college football, although there was some football last weekend. Stanford play-by-play announcer Scott Reese, who calls Cardinal football, he was down under with the Cardinal as they took on Rice. He stops by with the Herbs and Guru show. Something just a little bit sad. Looking at my man Slick Nick on the other side of the glass as he brings us in with a little bit of rock and roll. I'm Mike Lurban. Across from the studio from me is Daryl Johnson. We are Herbs and Guru. We'll take you up until 3 o'clock. We appreciate you joining us on this holiday weekend. And we also appreciate being joined by friend of the program, friend of the station, Scott Reese, former colleague of mine over when it was CSN Bay Area. Now he is Stanford football play-by-play announcer, among other sports. And, of course, we know Scott from being at KTVU as an anchor and a reporter. Hey, Scott, what's going on, man?
One, bud.
You just cut out for a second. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can. So how you doing, man? Are you recovered? Jet lag is the trip to Down Under. Have you recovered fully?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. You know, you just push through that first day. You stay up like 30 hours in a row, and you sleep for 14 hours, and that does most of the trick. Well worth the jet lag, I assure you.
Now, I'm looking at the line score, if you will, of Stanford and Rice down there. And what was it, 38-0 at halftime and 52-0 after the third quarter?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Was that about what you were expecting going in?
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think the game was as close as the score would indicate.
Wow.
It was – did I expect a lopsided game? Yes. Did I expect 62-7? I don't think you ever do. You know, it was really, unfortunately, pun sort of intended, the perfect storm for Rice. You know, I mean, they were half a world away when Hurricane Harvey hit Houston, but you know that had to weigh on their minds in terms of, you know, seeing all the coverage and what was going on back home, and then, you know, having to play a football game. So I'm sure that weighed on those guys. And honestly, you know, you could argue the game ended before they even snapped the football. You know, Stanford scores a touchdown on its first possession, goes up 7-0. Rice runs the kickoff back to the 10, and then they go false start, delay of game, false start. All of a sudden, the ball's at the 1.5-yard line. They haven't even snapped it yet. They got a freshman quarterback, and that was pretty much it.
Scott, next week, you guys play at USC, and we'll go up against Heisman Trophy candidate Mr. Sam Darnold. And I just wanted to ask you, do you think this is the best quarterback group you've seen in college football in a long time?
It's really good. I mean, just in the Pac-12 alone, between, you know, with Darnold and Josh Rosen and Luke Falk up at Washington State, who doesn't get nearly enough press, and, of course, Jake Browning at Washington, who we saw last night, it's a really good group. It's, you know, going to be fascinating to see who the best quarterback in the conference is, you know, let alone the country when you're talking about the Heisman race. Darnold's legit. USC is obviously no joke. Top five preseason. They'll play later today, so we'll get a look at him. But it's going to be a lot of fun, I think, next week in the Coliseum.
Scott, what was your favorite part about the Australia trip? Did you get to hang out with any Joeys?
You know, we did. The first day was awesome, which was the day you're going, you know, on zero sleep for like 2.5 days. So it felt. But, you know, they did that intentionally. We landed at about 7, got to the hotel, had breakfast immediately, took everybody to the Taronga Zoo, which is one of the premier zoos in the world. And that's where you see your Joeys and your koalas and your dingoes and the backdrop of Sydney Harbor. So it's just a beautiful, beautiful setting as well. And then went back, checked in at the hotel, and then went right for a mile and a half beach hike to Bondi Beach. So they did that intentionally, kept all the guys up and moving all day so that they could get on Australian time. But it was just an awesome day for sightseeing and experience and everything else.
We're talking with Scott Reese here, good enough to spend some time with us on this holiday weekend. Even if it wasn't a holiday weekend, it'd feel like one because college football kicks off en masse and the abomination that is the NFL preseason is officially over, and they're yeah, cutting people in masse. How about that, Scott? I know that you're mainly a Stanford guy, but at KTVU, you cover all the sports, including the Niners. And what do you think of the rule of no cutdowns until the last of the four games? It, for me, the one thing I like about it is if you identify somebody in week one that's probably not going to make the roster, but you're pulling for him because he's an underdog, at the very least, you get to pull for him for 4 weeks.
I guess there's that. And I understand why they do it. But, you know, it just renders the preseason even sillier from a fan standpoint because you got so many more guys who aren't going to be playing football, meaningful football, that are still around in weeks 3 and 4. And it's just – it's odd because now we're seeing the tidal wave of cuts. I mean, you got
– Dude, there's 1,000 people hitting the streets
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. There's 1,200 guys all of a sudden.
Unreal.
So, you know, you're going to see all kinds of – you're going to see all kinds of attrition. You're going to see – we're seeing trades. I mean, we're seeing more trades now, I think, which is interesting. In fact, we saw the Patriots just traded Jacoby Brissett to the Colts, which tells me that Andrew Luck's not going to be ready anytime soon. So, you're seeing a few more deals, which I guess has some excitement level. But honestly, at this point, do we really care? Like, just suit it up. Play games that matter.
Scott, and the Niners are going to do just that. Next Sunday, they host the Panthers. And I'm wondering if you can give us the Scott Reese manual of how to watch this game and what to expect. I know we're going to focus on the score. I'm excited about what the Niners are doing. But, Scott, let's be real here. If they do lose, if they're competitive, that's where the win-win is, right? If we see growth.
Come on, next week it's all about Christian McCaffrey. That's all I'm going to be watching.
You. Thank
that's all
you.
I'm going to be watching. I know that's all Scott's going to watch.
That's the manual, number 22 on the other team. That's what I'll be looking at. There's no question, Guru. Growth, clearly, you know, and they say there's no such thing as moral victories, but I think in the Niners' case, you know, you'll take one if you're competitive, if it's still a game in the fourth quarter, you feel like you have a chance to win on the road against a pretty good opponent, so – you're looking at the whole package, though. I mean, this is new coach. This is new system. It's John Lynch's first game as GM. So, you know, you're evaluating everything. But for me, it starts with the offense. You know, is Kyle Shanahan going to have an immediate effect on an offense which was dreadful a year ago? Is Brian Hoyer going to be a tangible step up from the quarterbacks that they trotted out there a year ago with Gabbert and Kaepernick? So, you know, there's a lot to watch for. That makes it interesting. You know, I mean, there's certainly a lot to watch for with the Niners. You know, Pierre Garçon, new number one receiver. They cut Curley, so they're going to have a new slot guy. And there's so many different aspects to this Niner football team that I think it's going to be really interesting to see how they run next week.
The voice you hear is that of Scott Reese. He handles Stanford play-by-play as well as being an anchor and reporter at KTVU. You can follow him on Twitter at Stanford Voice. Scott, let's go back to Sam Darnold and we're being told it's one of the best quarterback classes in a long, long time, and that would include the young man Rosen from UCLA, which you're going to get to probably call some games with. We're hearing that the Browns, the Jets, some of these teams are going to be tanking specifically to try to get a run at Darnold or whoever they think is the best of them. Given that, first off, do you buy that NFL teams would seriously tank an entire season just it's a roll of the dice. No matter how good you think Sam Darnold is, no matter how good you thought Andrew Luck was coming out of the draft, nothing is guaranteed. I don't buy that NFL franchises are actually going to tank to get one of these guys.
No, I don't buy it either. And honestly, I mean, look, take Darnold, for instance. I mean, Darnold's gone on record saying, I'm not leaving after this year. Now, it's easy to say that in July and August. We'll see if he's singing the same tune.
Right.
Tune if he's a Heisman, you know, caliber quarterback in USC's in the college football playoffs. You know, my guess is he does come out. But, you know, if there's no guarantee he's coming out. Josh Rosen, same deal. He's a junior. I mean, Rosen, I think, is more of a certainty that he'll come out. But you never know for sure. So you certainly can't pin your hopes on guys who may or not, you know, return for another year of college football. And regardless of that, Herbs, to your point, you can't make a living that way because it's the NFL. You never know. I mean, fluky things happen in a 16-game season. And if you come out, you know, you go 2-1, all of a sudden, wow, you know, this changes the entire landscape. So I don't think anybody is officially tanking, even behind the scenes. I don't know that that's really a part of their thought process, because you know you can go in thinking, yeah, we're not going to be very good, but you know what if you're the fourth worst team in the NFL? You're only the fourth worst, then you get the number four pick. You know, maybe you don't get one of those two elite quarterbacks or however many there are coming off. So there's too many moving parts, there's too many variables, and the idea that teams are going in August saying, yep, we're going to try to go 0-16,
yeah,
is laughable.
Yeah, and if you're Darnold or Rosen, like say whoever of those quarterbacks emerges as the class of that class, so to speak, and you see franchises as bad as the Browns and the Jets, and they're jockeying for position to potentially get your services, do you think that would be enough to push a guy who maybe not being completely genuine saying I'm coming back next year, but that would push me over the edge? If I see the Browns in position to snap me up and I got another year of eligibility, I'm staying, thank you very much.
Yeah, I don't. Again, I think you're dealing with such hypotheticals now. And by the way,
it's kind of what we do, Scott.
I don't know that we should lump the Browns in. I mean, I think the Jets are going to be historically bad.
Come on, that's my squad.
I would put the Bills probably before the Browns at this point when you're talking about you know teams that might be horrific this year. But you know we'll see how it plays out. But no, I don't think that really plays into their consciousness. I think you know these guys also know that. Look, we've seen teams, look at the Cowboys when they drafted Aikman, you know, 1-15. Look at the Colts when they drafted Luck. I mean, they were as bad can be, and we've seen the effect that one star quarterback can have on a franchise. So if you're Sam Darnold or you're Josh Rosen or you're Jake Browning and you feel like, you know, you're every bit as good as those guys, you're coming out to the NFL, you think you can turn around a 2-14 team and make them good again. So I really don't think that plays into it.
Hey, Scott, we've run out of time. We could talk college football, pro football with you all day. We'll probably be doing it a number of times as the weeks roll on.
Thank you
so much. I know it's been real busy for you, but glad to hear that you had a good trip down under and that you're fully recovered. Thanks again, man.
All good, guys. Talk to you soon.
All right. That's Scott Reese from KT Views, an anchor reporter there, and also the voice of Stanford Athletics play-by-play. Follow him on Twitter at Stanford Voice. Should a 16-year-old guru be punished for promoting his dad's business, or is he promoting his own business, which could throw his eligibility, his professional / amateur status into question?
And I've got some exciting news for you when we get back, too.
Does it have to do with rhinos?
No.
Okay. I'm Herb C's Guru, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Michael Urban and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
I'm so excited.
Foreigner?
I'm excited. It's a beautiful day out.
Hot-blooded. Check it and see. I got a fever of 103.
News. Don't say we're going through that again. Is it going to be 103?
No, I'm just the lyrics to the song that we just came back to.
Yeah, that was Foreigner.
Yeah, right.
See?
Foreigner 4.
Foreigner 4.
Classic album, man.
12
Welcome back to 95.7 The Game, home of the classic hits. I'm Herbs. He is Guru. We're having the best time. It's not even 1 o'clock yet. We're not even an hour into the program, and I'm already having the best time, feeling blessed. Been a rough week. It's going to be a great weekend. Maybe not for some people who are going to be cut off the Niners rosters and rosters all throughout the NFL. The Turk, as they call him, is asking for playbooks as we speak, I am sure. We're going to be speaking with Matt Barrows, who covers the 49ers for the Sacramento Bee. We'll talk to him at about 1 o'clock. It's going to be a busy weekend for him. As well, anybody who's covering an NFL team, it's going to be a very busy weekend. But we haven't done any basketball talk yet, Guru. And anytime somebody in the Ball family is in the news, then it's big news. And now I can't believe that it's LaMelo who's in the news, who's a 16-year-old sophomore in high school. By the way, he committed to UCLA when he was 13. Big Baller Brand now has a LaMelo signature shoe, and it's causing all sorts of consternation in the sports world.
And he's driving. Don't forget the most important part, a Lambo. Look, I'm the biggest LaVar Ball fan there is. Stay in your lane. I'm the biggest LaVar Ball fan. But now when you
give we'll get back kids, to that later.
Yeah, when you give the kids you know, the toys too soon, that's when they get a mark on their back. And when I say mark, it's a 16-year-old with a Lambo driving to school. That's not a recipe to me for success.
I'm going
to
go ahead.
Come on, LaVar, be a good dad. Break him off a nice Honda Civic, a Honda Accord.
Exactly.
Don't give him the Lambo. And your son, your oldest, Lonzo, who this is all about, just got in the league. You got your, he gonna have no money left.
16 to 18, your kids should be driving a hoopty. And if they handle their business for those 2 years at the 18th birthday, then if you're lucky enough to have the funds, then maybe you drop a Lambo on them as they go off to college.
Do we sound like haters?
Nah, 16 to 18.
A little bit.
I don't think so. I think we're talking. Maybe we're old school. We're definitely coming off as old school.
Then the kids get envious. They start fights with
the youngster. I'm going to guarantee that the Lambo's tires get slashed at least twice this school year.
See,
kids are jealous. Kids are petty. They're going to take it out on him.
More now than I think ever before in the world's existence. To me, this is just not what the youngster needed. Work on your game. Get an elliptical at the house. You know, give him something that he can work. A treadmill. You don't need a Lambo at 16 in L.A. smashing up into the parking lot. The teacher's probably, you got this wrong. I'm not going to show you the right way to get it. You got a Lambo.
Right,
you're
right.
16. Your brother's on the Lakers. You guys run this city. I'm just upset that LeVar allowed this to happen. I just, you know, it's like my daughter
Milan.
He didn't
allow it to happen. He made it happen.
My daughter's in town.
Is that right?
Yeah, Miss Milan.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that.
She's with my sister-in-law, Min. Who else? Macy, my niece, and baby Mila, brand new baby.
Shout out, Mila.
They're going to walk around San Francisco and stop by here and get to meet the great Michael Irvin.
Oh, man, and they're going to be baking in San Francisco. That's the last thing they probably expected coming to San Francisco, right? I mean, normally you come here.
That's the only bad part.
Right. Yesterday you told me it was the hottest it's ever been in
San Francisco history.
Ever. But global warming is just a hoax created by the Chinese.
Yeah, that's and I'm sweating now. But you get where I'm going. LeVar, call me. As a dad, that's not in the playbook.
But,
that's
but here's what makes this a real story. I mean, it's even on TMZ for crying out loud. O'Shea Jackson, Ice Cube's son. Cube in the house. Remember I said that in an elevator?
Has O'Shea Jr. did anything outside of boys? NWA, though, Herbs. I'm getting a little worried
about
his career.
He hasn't. But does he need to? I mean, he's basically... He's kind of. He
if you
well,
want to be your dad and follow in his footsteps, you better get another role, son.
But does he have to though?
I mean, it's not about have; it's about the.
Does LaMelo Ball have to do anything the rest of his life? Obviously not. He's already got a Lambo and a signature shoe, and that's where the story started, and that's where we're going to keep it. LaMelo has a $395 signature shoe, Guru, that could throw his eligibility at UCLA. Into question. He might not be able to play college ball because of this. Because according to NCAA bylaws, and this is per Yahoo Sports.
And this is a bit premature, though, right?
No, it's not premature because it says athletes are prohibited from using their name or picture to advertise, recommend, or promote directly the sale of a commercial product or service of any kind. I'm thinking that applies directly to LaMelo Ball's signature shoe.
Well, he's in high school is what I'm saying. He's yet to have to cross this barrier.
Right, but if he's already promoting a signature shoe, he's already making money off of his own name, which whether you're in college or not, now there may not be a precedent, and they may have to set the precedent here, but so if they discontinue the shoe at the end of his senior year of high school, is he all of a sudden eligible to play in college because he's not making money off his likeness anymore? Seems like there's going to be a precedent set here one way or another.
Oh, and the college is not going to change their rules. The Ball family is going to have to do it. And I think they went into this already knowing, hey, LaMelo, when we get to that juncture, that'll be the end of your shoe. But this will give you the publicity you need right now.
But why does he need publicity right now?
All publicity is good publicity, Herbs.
LaMelo does not need publicity as a 16-year-old in high school. He doesn't need a Lambo either, but he's got that as well.
That's a joke, right?
$395. O'Shea Jackson said he's going to get some, and he says if it has the name Ball on it, that S is hot.
And Jay-Z.
I'm going to get mine. I'm going to get some Alonzo's. If LeVar gets some, I'm going to get them too.
Did you see the great Jay-Z? He had a great line. He said he ordered 4 pair, and that was just because of LeVar and the fact that he was trying to take down the shoe industry itself. But Jay-Z mentioned in the piece he's yet to receive them. But I believe they come out in November. So nobody's got the actual shoe as of yet. They paid for them, but they haven't got the tennis shoe.
Yeah, TMZ has a clip. I haven't clicked on it, but the teaser image is of Jay with a baseball cap, and the headline at the bottom is, I ball with BBB, Big Baller Brand, Jay-Z.
Did you go BBB?
That's what it says. It says BBB, I ball with BBB.
And Rich the mailman told us to chill on the weather updates because he's out and about right now, and we're just reminding him how hot it is as he listens.
Oh, I'm sorry. Pun intended,
but
he says.
It's one-on-one.
He's a mailman in Fremont. Man. But mailmen get to wear shorts. So do UPS drivers.
What is...
At least you get to rock shorts.
Do you? Man, dogs. You got the mace.
I've never even thought I would have to ask the question, is there air conditioning in the palatial 95.7 studios?
Yeah.
Or are we going full-on throwback?
No, I think it shuts off on
classic
weekends.
Classic rock rejoins no air conditioning.
Those are inquirer minds want to know.
I'm having the best time. 1 o'clock, we're going to be joined by Matt Barrows, NFL cut down day. It's got to be done by, is it 1 o'clock Pacific time? That's when it has to be done. Yeah. So Matt's life is about to get crazy, crazy busy.
I'm just trying to think about LaMelo. If he asked girls on dates, what girls at the schools would say no?
Do you think he should be banned from playing college ball if he's making money off his own shoes in high school?
No.
Do you have a problem with college sports with guys making money off their own name?
Yeah, we already know the hypocrisy comes with college athletics, so I don't even want to go there, especially with these guys not getting paid, but the school's getting billions for these bowl games and everything else that comes with it. It's just sad.
The NCAA can't say to LaMelo, okay, you're ineligible now. Even though he's not
He's
not part of the NCAA yet, though.
Okay, no, that's why I said front.
Do they shut it down at the end of his senior year to make sure he's eligible?
You're not the Gestapo. You can't do anything until this man is on a college basketball
team. No, I mean, does the Ball family shut it down his senior year of high school?
Well, that's an oxymoron. The Ball family shutting it down.
They don't know how to shut anything down.
No.
They certainly don't know how to shut their mouths. But you know what? As more time passes... the more I'm impressed with what LaVar Ball is doing. I mean, he's a marketing genius.
Okay. But has it paid off yet in regard to...
If his 16-year-old driving a Lambo, it's paid off. Unless that's
his
a gift from a dealer.
His brother's on the Lakers. That could have been a signing bonus. I'm just saying there's NBA fam now. Because the Lambos didn't appear until the son Lonzo got drafted. I'm just throwing that out there.
Do you think he's felt like, okay, Lonzo's got his shine, he's taken care of, I've turned him into a star, now it's time to turn the next one into a star, and here's how I'm going to do it?
Yeah, and I'm sure he paid Pops. You know, first thing you get your big check, you take care of moms and dad, right?
Right.
That's what I would do. I ain't got the big check yet.
Hey, little breaking news, NFL, since we're going to be talking with Matt Barrows of the Niners beating the Sacramento Bee. Vikings released the Rhino.
You're killing me with these nicknames.
Alex Boone, you don't know the Rhino? Come on.
I used to know him.
He was a character, but then the longer he was a Niner, the less and less I liked him. I don't know. It just seemed like
he's a free agent, the Rhino.
He absolutely is a free agent. But as I said, Matt Barrows is the man. He covers the Niners for the Sacramento Bee. It's going to be a very busy day, a very busy weekend for him as the Niners and all the other NFL teams cut down from 90 guys to 53. Who's staying? Who's going? I'm Herbs. He's Guru. 95.7 The Game. I'm Michael Urban. He's Daryl Johnson on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.